Are you ready to break the silence and embrace the transformative journey of perimenopause? Well, you're in the right place. We are Natalie and Lisa, your hosts, and this is the podcast that's rewriting the script on perimenopause.
Join us in embracing the strength within, awakening dormant power, and closing the knowledge gap. We're here to inspire great health and ensure every woman is seen and heard.
Get ready for expert insights, relatable stories, and a community that gets it. Unleash your perimenopause power. It's time to own your story. We are so excited to bring you today's podcast episode because we know that it is full of insightful information and inspirational awareness. Adriana Tantu is drawing from personal experiences with PMDD and endometriosis. Adriana leverages her role as a global fitness consultant and host of the PMDD podcast to advocate for a menstrual-friendly world. Adriana's journey through the challenges of PMDD and endometriosis fuels her commitment to raising awareness and promoting education on menstrual health. Having faced hardships firsthand, she passionately channels these experiences into a mission that extends beyond mere awareness. Adriana's goal is to destigmatize and empower individuals, emphasizing the implementation of tailored menstrual health programs in workplaces. The fusion of her fitness consultancy and podcasting uniquely contributes not only to personal well-being, but also advocates for positive cultural shifts surrounding menstruation. Let's get into today's episode. Well, hello, listeners, and welcome back to another wonderful episode of Perimenopause Power. Hello, Lise, how are you?
I'm fabulous. Thanks, Nat, for asking. Hope you are too.
Going very well. And I know we say this all the time, but it is always a highlight of our week and days when we come together to record an episode. And of course, with wonderful guests. And we want to welcome Adriana Tantu to the podcast. Hello, Adriana.
Hi, and thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
We are thrilled, and we are really thrilled to talk about a topic that perhaps might be quite unknown for a lot of women and men also. And I just wanted, before we start into our conversation with you, is just to really highlight why we're having this conversation here. Our listeners know that our podcast is specific to perimenopause, but it's also important for us to acknowledge that menopause doesn't just happen. We experience our reproductive years and menstrual cycles in the lead up to perimenopause. And we often talk about us all having our own story. Lise, you and I have shared our own story. And even if you're thinking, what could be my story? My periods have been pretty non-eventful. It is still your story. And it is these stories that contribute to our menopause experience and our own story as well. So it's really important for us to bring to you the awareness of various conditions and experiences women have around their menstrual cycles and their life phases, because these are vast and varied. And as we know, we have never had the education and we very rarely have had the conversation up until now. And so that's why we welcome Adriana to the podcast. And so before we do get started, Adriana, I do also want to mention that there might be some discussion around sensitive topics and mental health throughout our conversation. But Adriana, could you kick us off with explaining a little bit to our audience about what PMDD is, or premenstrual dysphoric disorder?
So I will explain it in from my understanding. With PMDD, what's so special about it, I guess, is that we've only really found out about it since, I think, it came into the medical system as a name, as PMDD, in 2017. I mean, it's been around for a very, very long time. People have been suffering from severe PMS for a very long time, and that's essentially what it is. And from what my understanding is that we have a menstrual cycle, and in the second half of the menstrual cycle, which is called the luteal phase, there's a whole lot of things that are going on there. The hormones are going up and down, estrogen, progesterone. And for somebody that's suffering from PMDD, premenstrual dysphoric disorder, our brains can't handle the sensitivity of these hormones. They can't handle these fluctuations. So that results in symptoms like moodiness, tiredness, fatigue, unfortunately, suicidal thoughts. There's physical symptoms as well, which is very similar to the PMS, the breast tenderness. So, but it is so different for everybody. everybody, you know, some people with PMDD love their ovulation phase. You know, they just, they really peak. That's what it's like for me. It really, you know, we love it. That's our, we've got our energy back, etc. But then straight after ovulation, we can get a real dive. That's what happened to me. And then just getting closer and closer to when my period comes, I felt the heaviness, the relationships all breaking down around me, me wanting to be in isolation, and then finally getting my period and feeling a sense of relief. So that's kind of how it was for me and how I sort of understand PMDD.
Yeah, wow. And just as you're talking, so as we're recording this, I'm 5 days, if my period is on track this month, I'm 5 days for my period. So I'm right in my luteal phase. And so today I'm feeling just low energy. And for me, that is chaotic enough for me, just not having that same vibrancy. So just hearing you talk around those deep feelings and experiences that women have during this time, I'm sure it's quite debilitating and quite frustrating at the same time. How did you come, or can you share a little bit about your story, how you come to realize that this was something that you had been dealing with?
Yeah, I think it's really important to quickly note before finding out, I was always a troubled kid. I had quite a lot of trauma before I even started menstruating. And then in my teenage years, I wasn't okay. I didn't deal with a lot of the trauma that had happened as a child. And when I started menstruating, I started an alcohol and drug addiction. And that went through up and down, off and on, until I was 35. At 35, I got sober and I started getting the reality of life and didn't have my crutch. I didn't have my alcohol. I didn't have the partying on the weekend to be able to numb everything that was going on for me. And so suddenly it was just like night and day for me. It really was. I was just this happy bean for part of the month. And then it's like Dr. Jekyll and Dr. Hyde. It would just literally be, it's like somebody switched a light and suddenly suicidal thoughts just picking at my beautiful friends and my family. All of a sudden I was like, what is going on? And I actually was really scared to go to the doctors. I was terrified that I was going to get a medical diagnosis like borderline personality disorder. But finally, I went, funnily enough, I have undiagnosed endometriosis as well. So I was heavily medicated during my period. And I went to my dentist and the nurse asked me, you know, how are you going today? And I was like, oh, I'm great. I'm drugged up. And she's like, what do you want? And she's like, I get really bad period pain. And I must have never actually said this out loud to anyone until I was 35. And she's like, she grabbed my hand. She said, that's not normal. And I said, really? I was like, my mom just told me at 16 that that was normal. She goes, you need to go and see this doctor. So I went to see him within 2 minutes, diagnosed me with endometriosis, diagnosed me with PMDD. I was like, what the hell is PMDD? Did a little bit of research. He explained to me and I was like, oh my goodness, that's it. I'm not going crazy. Yay. I'm not going crazy. This is amazing. And so then I went on this massive journey of self-healing. I did go to a few GPs, but they all just wanted to medicate me, which the normal medications are, you get on the pill, SSRIs, then it's chemical menopause, and then it's hysterectomies. And I was like, absolutely not. I'm not interested in any of that. So I went the holistic way. Took me quite some time to get through it. But I have to say the biggest thing that assisted me was actually learning about my cycle and understanding all the phases and cycle tracking. I was like, oh my gosh, how did I not know any of this? I didn't even know. I had no idea that ovulation was such a big event. I literally thought we only need to know about ovulation if we want to get pregnant. That was it. I was like, oh, wow, this is cool stuff when you finally understand it and embrace it.
Wow, wow, wow. I'm not often speechless. You know, as I'm listening to you talk, I'm just thinking how much, and you've just hit it on the head, how much power there is in being aware of your cycle. And it is just a travesty that we are not taught these things or educated, because we grow up and our mothers don't know it. Our grandmothers don't know it, right? So it's never been something that's been discussed. They know roughly what's going on, but there's so much power in knowing what your hormones are doing through that cycle. And then going into perimenopause and menopause, knowing that that can be a bit of a roller coaster, but just understanding it and coming into it so educated is amazing. How wonderful that that nurse at the dental surgery took your hand and said, this is the person that you need to go and see. And we love that person, because how wonderful, you could have been searching and searching. And this is the other issue that we're facing, is that, you know, doctors do a great job, but not everyone is trained in this area. And it's just not a part, like the intricacies and understanding and around the condition is just not on the front of mind. It's not front of mind for a lot of those specialists. So you said you spoke to him and then you went to other doctors. What was you got a diagnosis, but then you saw more doctors, or is that how it worked? I'm just trying to understand how that sort of played out.
Of course. So the doctor that I initially saw was a Chinese doctor, and it was a he, mind you. It was a guy that actually diagnosed me, and it was acupuncture. So it started off as acupuncture. And to be honest, I wanted, like anyone, when you're in that, when you are faced with this terror every month and scared, you're actually quite scared of what you will not only do to yourself, but other people in this stage. Like when I say severe PMS, this is like, you know, you've got voices in your head saying, today you're not welcome here. And this person's a threat to you. You need to leave this person. It's really terrifying. So now after sort of understanding more about it, it takes a long time to sort of get through it for a lot of people, which it was for me. And I wasn't patient enough for acupuncture at the time.
Yeah.
So I went to other doctors, and I'm very much somebody that will invest in my health, and I'm happy to pay the money. So I went to the top female GPs in my area, and this was COVID as well. So there was a lot of telehealth appointments. So I was going them but I really highlighted right from the beginning, I don't want to be taking medication. And they all laughed at me. They just said, they understood the condition. All they wanted to do was give me drugs. They didn't talk about lifestyle. They didn't talk about exercise and all those, you know, nutrition and everything. It was just here. And to me, that's a Band-Aid.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Speaking our language.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you did say, and, it, you know, and I think there's that, and I have talked about this countless times on our podcast, how we just want that quick, instant fix. And you mentioned that it took time, but you got there. And I think we have to have patience in, it takes time to get to there, and then it takes time to rewind so that we can get back to a, you know, some sense of being healthier or happier or at peace or understanding with where we're going or what the condition is. So what were some of the treatment options that you've mentioned acupuncture, what worked for you in relation to managing PMDD?
Yeah, it's really interesting. My journey, I really want to highlight too that I was single and I didn't have children. So I don't want to disregard the medical system at all.
Sure.
If I had been with a partner and three children under the age of 10 whilst trying to manage my PMDD, I would have grabbed the drugs too. Yeah. I would have been clutching. So I had the time and space to do it. It was COVID. Like literally the universe said, you're going nowhere until we sort this out. And I had a very flexible job. I worked from home. I didn't have all these extra stresses. But for me, after trying to see all the specialists and everything and not really getting anywhere, I just really, I'd also like to add that I've been a meditator for almost 10 years. So I was quite in tune with my body at that point. Like I was able to really slow down and go, okay, what is it that I need? I realized that the way forward for me was to focus on the low-hanging fruit. And I knew that if I looked at my life, I knew that I wasn't eating well, I wasn't sleeping well, I had bad relationships. I wasn't exercising regularly. My spiritual practice was probably not as great. So I just thought, you know what? These all need to be cleaned up. Like, and if we had, if I had led this kind of life from day dot, I wouldn't have PMDD or endo. That's my true belief. So for me, my first action was my spiritual practice, getting up, meditating, gratitude, slowing down, you know, doing all the woo-woo stuff, like getting out in nature, the sun on my face, feet on the ground. That's for the first like month, I just focused on that. And then the second was the exercise. I used to be a PT. I was living with my sister. We would just box, or we bought a couple of, you know, bikes, and I went riding, and I was consistently in the morning. I did some exercise, went for a walk at lunchtime, did walk meetings, like all these simple things. Right. And then what was the real, and then I did see a network chiro as well, which they don't do physical manipulations. It's all like energy work. I think that was a game changer for me. And so over this time, slowly this, like my periods got less painful. And usually my PMDD would happen straight after ovulation, so between 10 and 14 days. And slowly those days just got less and less and less. And the final piece for me, which I wholeheartedly believe, is I went and saw a nutritionist, a dietitian. I think she was a naturopath as well, did all the tests, found all this candida in my gut. My gut biome was out of control. So I was put on a strict diet. After 8 weeks, no period pain and no PMDD symptoms. Wow. I literally walked around like this. There was like a you know, this sunshine around me. I was just so happy. And that was it. Like, there was just so many pieces to it leading up to that. And along the way, cleaning up relationships, you know, strengthening relationships with mom, strengthening relationships with dad, with my brother and sister, friends around me. I was very vocal with my friends as well about this. There was like emojis that I would send when I was in luteal phase. And then there was emojis, you know, emojis that I would send once I got through my period. It's like, it's time, I'm back. Let's hang out. Let's get on the phone call. But they knew not to be around me during that time because I was a bit scared about what I would say to them.
I'm just sitting here and absorbing everything. And I know Lise will be feeling all the feels as well. Obviously myself as a yoga meditation teacher and mindset coach, just that whole, the spiritual element, the connection to yourself. And I think, you know, as you were talking, it's just instilling that sense of acceptance as to where you are and also giving yourself permission to be with where you are as well. And I think you make a really good point in your opening there before you spoke about this, in terms of where you were in your life. And so you had that time to invest. And again, I think it's important to acknowledge for our listeners too, that it's all about behavior change and working with the time that you have and finding the elements of self-care. And when we talk about self-care, we talk about it as fueling your body, nutrition. It doesn't have to be that spa treatment or the out of the box thing that you might do for yourself. It's the very simple things that keep us alive and keep us having a high sense of vitality. So really important that you acknowledge where you are and work with the time that you have and how incredible. And I know Lise would love to share around the gut biome and just acknowledging how incredibly important our gut health is and that whole mind body connection. We know that there's a connection with our gut and our brain health, and just phenomenal. And again, you know, as health coaches, it's those incremental steps that you take. And yes, it takes a long time, but how incredible, and I'm saying this a lot, that just, you know, you were on this journey and you took that journey and you just were with where you were. It's just phenomenal. Lise?
Yeah, I echo all of that. And you know what? The gut is so underrated with everything, you know, just different, you know, Nat, just different clients that we work with, the stress, the gut, the mental health, they're all connected. And when they work together in, you know, in more of a unison, amazing things happen. And, you know, then you've mentioned spiritual practice. Love that. You know, really something that's something I've learned a lot from Nat, and that's her jam. exercise. I know that when I get up in the morning, for instance, and go for a walk with my dog, it sets me up for a beautiful day, right? And or going to the gym, it's like my body's got this happiness happening, you know, like, so, and you put in, you know, the nutrition. Nutrition is one of the most wonderful things that it's so underrated. And it's one of the easiest things that we can do with the simplest changes, and it doesn't have to be complicated. So, and I just love that you got to a stage where what you had been experiencing for so long has floated away. I don't know if that's the right way to explain it, but, you know, I was just had this big smile on my face. I believe you must have been walking around with that sunshine halo over your head thinking, this is friggin' amazing. Like, how kudos to you. And yeah, I just love your story around that. What advice do you have for individuals who suspect they may have PMDD or struggling to manage their symptoms?
Yeah, and I think there's one thing that I just realized that I didn't sort of mention in the intro in terms of what PMDD is. It's also, when does it come around? So usually, from what we understand, PMDD sparks at when you first start bleeding, after having a child, miscarriage, termination, and now we understand perimenopause. I've got a podcast. I have, you know, interviewed so many people at all different stages. So I just want to make sure that, yeah, anyone that's listening, it really can happen at any time. So I may have cleared up my PMDD when I first sort of understood when I got diagnosed, but shortly after that sunshine, I had a termination. As soon as I had that termination, for 5 weeks, it was hell. All my hormones trying to get back in, et cetera. So I just want to, yeah, just explain that PMDD really can come at any time.
Can I just interrupt you though? But actually understanding your cycle and the hormones, that's gold there in relation to it coming back and you go, okay, I know this is happening because of these reasons. So you're informed. And I think that's the key with it all. Sorry, keep going. I just wanted to make that point while we're going along here.
Because there's been people that I've interviewed that have been such happy, positive, you know, anxiety-free, depression-free, et cetera, and then they have a termination and then their world's just, you know, just like, what's going on? Or they have a child and obviously there's, you know, postnatal depression and everything that gets mixed up with PMDD. But if you are thinking that maybe that you have PMDD, the first thing is to notice your cycle, understand your cycle, get educated around it. You know, if you're starting to see a pattern that's happening, it's like, hang on a second. Like if you're thinking that maybe, you know, it's like, I'm happy and then I'm sad. I'm happy and then I'm sad. It's like, what's going on here? Really understand where you are in your cycle. If you just ovulated, you know, have you just had your period? Or like for me, when doomsday happened, you know, when the walls were, you know, crashing down on me and then the next day I got my period, I still didn't click. I didn't click until later on. And I was like, this all makes sense now. A really great first resource that I found and I have on that I share throughout my podcast is the IAPMD website. And that really breaks down everything. It's from the UK. It really breaks down what PMDD is. You know, the first thing when we're feeling like this, we want to go to our GP, but I really want to make sure that when I say go to your GP, make sure that you're taking agency and not just they may not know what PMDD is. So to find a specialist that really understands it. I don't want to blank that out, but if it was me in this, I'd go to a women's health specialist in terms of a naturopath, Chinese doctor, because that's just kind of my jam. I'm just not down for GPs.
And do you know what? And that's totally fine. And we've had that similar conversation too, that yes, as Lee said before, GPs are great. And of course they serve a role and a purpose in supporting general health, but also women, we hear go and see a GP about menopause, and a lot of them are not educated about menopause and are really left lost and confused. So I know our listeners will appreciate exactly what you're saying there around GP. So that's really great. And again, it just highlights the real gap that we've had around knowing our body and knowing our cycles and our phases and just how powerful it is to, as a first starting point, to support ourselves. Just quickly, and you touched on it before, and I love that you really normalized PMDD with your friends and your families and sending emojis, because again, that helps to just normalize and stigmatize PMDD, but also women's health and cycles and phases in general. What advice might you have for someone who has got a friend or a family member who is suffering with PMDD? What sort of things could they do to be a support person?
Just listen and understand, and please don't give advice, because you know, like I've had lots of friends like, oh, my friend had the similar thing and got, you know, they went and saw this person. I didn't want to hear that. I just wanted them to understand, or try to understand where I was, or even if they didn't, they just respected where I was at. If I didn't want to go to the party, or I didn't want to do that and didn't want to come round, we just have such a beautiful language around our conversations with all my friends at the moment. Even they're just like, I just got my period, I just want to be alone. I'm like, you go, sister, like, go relax. Do you need anything? Awesome. Or it's, you know, it's like, oh, it's the lead up to my period, I'm really feeling antsy, I just want to go to the movies. I'm like, cool, let's go to the movies. Like, just acknowledging, just listen. And if you don't understand, that's okay. But just be there for them and try not to, the worst is when you make us feel, you know, is it just your period kind of thing and all that. It's not just our period, unfortunately.
No, I was just going to say, there really is that listening and meeting you where you are is just, there's so much power in just that, isn't there?
There truly is. And of course, we automatically want to fix and help people that we love and care for, but you're so right. Just listen, just be an ear. I think it's really powerful. Great advice. Yeah. Now, Adriana, we ask our guests this question, and it's about power and finding and nurturing and using our personal power as we transition through life phases. In this case, it's perimenopause through this podcast. And perhaps you've already touched on this before, but we'd love to know from you, what has been your experience in coming into your own power? How have you done that?
Oh, that's such a good question. I feel like, and yeah, I have said this before, learning about your menstrual cycle is such a gift. Like, it just gives me tingles. Like, not only learning about it, but embracing it is just so powerful. And just knowing that, we can get emotional. We can have peaks and troughs, and it's okay. We don't have to be at 100% all the time. Like, that's the patriarchy. That's if we understood the men's, you know, their cycle, that's how the world has been built for us, and we just don't fit in. So embracing who you are, where you are, and embracing that menstrual cycle is just so powerful. And I'm just so happy that I found it, and not only that, being able to share it as well, and giving permission for other people to embrace their menstrual cycle without any stigma.
Oh God, I love that.
So good. This woman speaks our language, Liz.
Oh my God, I'm speechless. I don't have to say anything more. Bang, hit it on the head. Thank you so much.
I know. Thank you. Thank you so much for your openness and your vulnerability in sharing your story and educating our listeners around PMDD. I'm sure that so many listeners will just get so much out of this conversation. And even if it's just one thing, what a powerful starter for them to, you know, support themselves if they need it. So, Adriana, you have mentioned your podcast throughout our conversation. What is your podcast, and where can our listeners connect with you?
Yeah, thank you. So it's literally just the PMDD podcast, and you can find it on all major listening platforms. There is an Instagram page that I'm not very active on, but I'm going to try and get more active on, the PMDD podcast again. So I keep it very, very simple. I share my story on the podcast, interview lots of people with PMDD, but lots of professionals as well. I just love it. And I know that you can share that with, it really lights up my day, my life, to be able to share these stories.
Thank you so much, Adriana. I've just added the podcast to my playlist, and I will definitely be listening to some of those wonderful episodes. I'm going to go right back to the start. So thank you.
You are welcome.
Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story, as I said.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to Perimenopause Power. If you found today's episode empowering, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Your journey through perimenopause just got a whole lot brighter.
And of course, we'd love to hear your thoughts, so leave us a review. Your feedback helps us empower even more women on this transformative journey. Until next time, keep embracing your perimenopause power.